A liquid biopsy is like something out of Star Trek, an almost painless way to diagnose disease without taking out large lumps of tissue surgically. A wife and husband team at Peter MacCallum Cancer Centre in Melbourne have developed a world-first liquid biopsy for blood cancers like leukaemia, which may avoid painful, expensive bone marrow biopsies. Sarah Jane and Mark Dawson are in our Melbourne studio. Welcome to the Health Report.
Thank you for having us, Norman.
Thank you.
Sarah, well, first of all, let's start. So you were at Cambridge for 10 years and you've now decamped to the Palace at Parkville, the new Victorian Comprehensive Cancer Centre.
That's right. I'm from Melbourne originally and did my medical training here in Melbourne, but then went to the University of Cambridge and studied over there, did a PhD and some postdoctoral research over there and developed these skills that I've now brought back to Melbourne and more specifically to Peter MacCallum Cancer Centre and the Victorian Comprehensive Cancer Centre.
Before we get to the blood cancers that you and Mark have worked on, you yourself have developed liquid biopsies for solid tumours like breast cancer. What is a liquid biopsy?
Yeah, so essentially a liquid biopsy is a test that measures something called circulating tumour DNA. So we know that most cancer types can actually release small or tiny fragments of cancer DNA into a patient's bloodstream. And we now have quite sophisticated ways with which we can measure these small amounts of circulating tumour DNA. And in doing so, learn something about the cancer and how it's responding to treatment.
More than you can learn from a straight biopsy by putting a needle in the tumour?
Yeah, so one of the advantages is this testing is based on a blood test. So blood tests can be certainly repeated more frequently during someone's cancer treatment compared to an invasive tissue biopsy. You know, there are several limitations of tissue biopsies. They're invasive and quite challenging for patients. And
you might miss the spot as well.
That's right, yeah. They're only biopsying a single area of the tumour. And we know that heterogeneity within cancers is a big problem. No single area of a tumour is the same. So the liquid biopsy alternative may be more comprehensive. Certainly, it allows us to see DNA that's been shed into the bloodstream from all of the different sites of the tumour.
Mark, tell us about this one for blood tumours. What are we talking about here, leukaemia?
So the two major cancers that we've studied here are a disease called chronic lymphocytic leukaemia and another precursor condition called myelodysplastic syndrome. So if we start with the latter, the latter is really a problem of, you know, the production factory for our blood cells, which is the bone marrow. And so
you really teeter on a knife edge of leukemia when you've got MDS.
Correct. That's exactly right, Norman. And really here, the quality and quantity of the cells that are being produced is not adequate. But this is actually a relatively common disease that is quite difficult to diagnose because there are a number of different everyday exposures that may give rise to low blood counts. Infections, some of the toxins that we consume, such as alcohol, and other toxic exposures as well. So it's not always clear whether the low blood counts are caused by a cancer. But all cancers, as you've just been talking about, have a somatic or an acquired mutation in their DNA. And essentially, that's what we look for. We look for an abnormality that says that the cells are cancerous. We do that currently with a bone marrow biopsy, but what our results suggest is that we may be able to do that effectively with the liquid biopsy.
Sarah Jane, you know, tests have a checkered history. You know, people tout them with great hype and then you find that they're inaccurate. It depends on the person who's doing the test, whether or not you get a positive result or not. They're horribly expensive and in the end may not tell you any more than you get from the traditional test. How reliable and affordable are these liquid biopsies?
Yeah, so this is not a new field. We've known for quite some time that it's possible to find these small traces of cancer DNA in the bloodstream of patients with cancer. But what's changed recently is improvements in technology. We now have improvements in the way that we can reliably detect these small amounts of DNA. So these tests are now much more sensitive than they have been previously. And this has really seen great growth and expansion of research in this area.
Are they ready for showtime yet, or is it still experimental?
We're certainly working very hard to now start to make these tests more readily available for patients, and we're hoping to be in a situation to be able to do that in the next few months.
And affordably?
Yes. So the costs of these tests are actually likely to be very affordable for patients. They're still not covered by government subsidies, but the hope is in the future that the more patients that have access to these tests, then they may actually be reimbursed.
Mark, I want to talk to you about a paper you've just published in Science magazine, one of the world's most prestigious journals, although you and Sarah Jane have also published in a very prestigious journal for your liquid biopsy, on epigenetics and cancer and the opportunities for treatment. We should just talk about, so this is an extraordinary, you know, it's not that new an area, but this is stuff that happens around the outside of DNA rather than inside it itself.
That's right, Norman. So, you know, epigenetics, I often describe using, you know, a very common site that is very familiar to everyone that happens in nature, how a caterpillar becomes a butterfly. You know, these two look very, very different, but essentially their DNA, their blueprint,
the genes
is identical. It's absolutely identical. What is different is what pages of that instruction manual are read to give rise to a caterpillar or a butterfly. And that really, you know, that ability to be able to access the DNA at the right place, the right time, to be able to repair it and replicate it, that process and the proteins that control that process is the study of epigenetics.
And to what extent is it involved in cancer?
What we've learnt over the last 10 years, as we've been sequencing lots of genomes of patients with cancer, is that mutations in genes that code for epigenetic regulators are probably the most frequently occurring class of mutations in cancer. And this really shouldn't be
so
very
just to
surprising.
Get should be totally mind bending. You're not talking about mutations that directly cause the cancer. You're talking about mutations that actually change the shape of the DNA and how it works.
No, it's a bit of both. So so if we think of the proteins that change the way we access our DNA, and we call these epigenetic proteins, the genes that code for these epigenetic proteins are what is mutated in cancer. And this really makes the genome much more plastic and more malleable, because when you mutate these things, you are suddenly able to keep genes on that should be turned off with normal development. And similarly, you sometimes turn off genes that would come over to protect the cell, come on to protect a cell should something bad happen. So mutations in epigenetic regulators are extremely common.
So which kind of tumours are we talking about here? We've only got a minute or so left.
Virtually all tumours. There's been most tumours that have been sequenced have been found to have mutations in epigenetic regulators.
And what does it mean for treatment?
What it means for treatment is that we now have a new way of trying to manipulate the cell, you know, trying to rewire this cell by finding therapies that target these mutated epigenetic regulators that turn off these genes in the specific cancer cells and try to, you know, make them more susceptible to the body's way of clearing them, including the immune system.
Existing drugs or new drugs?
New drugs. You know, there is a raft of new drugs that are being developed to try and target the epigenome to reset cancer cells.
And will these work hand in hand with the existing drugs or be able to do the job by themselves?
It's very unlikely that they will do the job by themselves. They're going to need to be used as part of combination therapies, and the next decade will involve just working out how best to use them.
So Sarah Jane, does your liquid biopsy pick up epigenetic changes or just the throw off DNA that's caused by cancer?
No, it certainly can pick up epigenetic changes as well, such as DNA methylation. So there is a whole host of genetic changes that studying the cancer DNA in the bloodstream can reveal.
Well, look, thank you very much to you both. Impressed, you know, a joint husband and wife or wife and husband lab doing such great work. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Sarah Jane and Mark Dawson of the Peter MacCallum Cancer Centre, and as I say, the Palace on Parkville, the new Victorian Comprehensive Cancer Centre. If you're not from Melbourne, you should drive by. It's a very impressive building.